this is Roy Lilly. Well, it was a technological advancement with humble beginnings. Very humble. In the mid-80s, a man called David Humble invented the self-checkout machines that we see today in our grocery stores. It took 3 years and $5 million, and bingo, in 1992, they first appeared in the US. By 2010, the open source self-checkout library was a project, and it drove the cost to less than one-tenth of the commercial version, and I linked to it. It's quite interesting to read. And by 2025, it's predicted that 1.2 million units will be installed worldwide. Well, maybe. One chain, and I linked to an interesting story in The Guardian, one chain is reverting to the smiling person on the checkout. How are you? Thank you for your custom. It goes a long way up the customer loyalty scale for the people using their stores. I spoke to an elderly gentleman. He'd recently lost his wife. He said he went shopping every day because the lady on the checkout was the only person he spoke to in a day. There's more to shopping than finding a better price, and sometimes the bargain is discovering what's really priceless. In the early days of Tesco self-checkout, I remember standing poleaxed as a metal voice boomed out, "Authorization required!" And I was clutching a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc like it was half a kilo of heroin. Another time it screamed, "Unexpected item in the bagging area!" Supermarkets have over 50,000 items. How could anything I bought be unexpected? Innovative technology means shoppers do for free what the shops used to pay to get done. It's said we live in the VUCA cultural moment. VUCA, V-U-C-A, volatile, uncertain, complex and ambiguous. Overdependence in advanced industrial countries on technology and the threat that technology will destroy the quality of life. It's the philosopher's technological dilemma. Well, there is no such dilemma in the NHS because we can't seem to get beyond first base. Finding technologies that are new, innovative and useful, easy. Hopefuls queue round the block trying to get a hearing for their Save the NHS gizmo. It's the useful bit we struggle with. Amazon runs an empire on simple barcodes that know what you order, who's supplying it, packing it, shipping it, and they'll even have a picture of your five-bar garden gate, if you've got one, when it's delivered. Buy stuff wherever you are, have it delivered wherever you want, at your convenience. They'll remember you. On the other hand, the NHS will tell you where and when you must turn up, convenient or not. When you get there, they'll treat you like you're unexpected and it's the first time they've met you, and they'll have trouble remembering who you are between departments. We can't do the basics. Shifting the dial on all this has been beyond a succession of IT leaders who are mesmerised by technologies, hypnotised by shiny new things, and get carried off on the wings of Hephaestus. How about that? Hephaestus, eh? Greek god. You can link in the letter this morning and find out who it is. Anyway, having said all that, I was amazed and delighted to read a thoughtful and interesting analysis of the NHS IT debacle by the recently departed NHS head IT honcho Tim Ferriss. It's a really good read for bobble hats, intriguing for us flat caps, and essential for anyone who has to keep a cap on expenditure. And a hat tip analysis. Cup of builders read, for sure. Advances in medical technology are astounding. Today, most prostatectomies, for example, will be robotically assisted. Surgical mapping in real time will be used in thousands of procedures, the appliance of science. Somehow it all crept up on us. Deliberately or unwittingly, I'm not sure, Tim Ferriss, with blunt force candor, reveals the problem. NHS digital infrastructure is highly variable and disorganised. He says, and I quote, "England may be too large and culturally suspicious of national solutions. One path forward," he proposes, "teams of national, regional, and local NHS technologists working to organise technology within each ICS – As local software licenses expire, then they would move to one software supplier. That's called managed conversions. It'd be slow, but it is smart. My précis of what he's saying? Well, the clinical aspects of technology needs no analysis from managers. The business cases generally make themselves. Patient interactions and the friction of access are still without a solution. There are steps in clinical pathways that should be step-free but aren't. Cash releasing in year one is all but impossible, and similarly, evidence gathering in year one almost impossible. Ferris makes the point, and I quote him again. He says, "With outcomes worsening, and provider capacity stretched to breaking, healthcare needs a new chassis, one that's capable of delivering many more services with a similar number of people." Condensed. His work in a sentence, he says, there are not enough healthcare professionals and there won't be, so we need technologies to make life easier and create the headroom for them to do more, better. With the care of a watchmaker, Ferris assembles his case and accepts the crucial point, and I quote him again, "The explosion in technology is part of the problem." Yes, Tim, yes. This is an elegant analysis that left me with not enough of the how-to, but a better understanding of the what, coming from someone working at the centre. It's a Cassandra gift for his successor, and it's a shame that only now that Tim Ferriss has checked out do we find he's left this unexpected item in the bagging area. Thanks for listening. Have a read of Tim's paper if you can. I link to it, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon. Bye-bye now.